Okay, so you know how some people say that money can break up any relationship? Well, if it didn't exactly break up Jason and John, who are these two guys who are really good friends, band buddies, genuinely liked each other, it sure as hell drove a wedge between them. Jason moved to Chicago about 3 years ago, and he only knew a couple people when he got here, but, you know, over time, developed a really tight circle of friends. And at first, he was really broke. It was winter. The construction industry sucks in winter here. You couldn't find a job doing construction like he wanted to. And he just had a really hard time finding work. But eventually, he and his good buddy John started a moving business together. And, you know, they were mostly working under the table, like posting jobs on Craigslist, renting a truck, generally getting paid in cash. The story starts here, actually, with Jason and John's moving business. Here's Jason.
We went and we did a job, and it was a huge job out in the suburbs for this woman and her family, really nice family, moved an entire house from one suburb to another. It was like an hour and a half drive. We even couldn't fit her patio furniture in on the first trip, so we did a second trip gratis. We just did it for free just to give her patio furniture. So we come back 2.5 hours later with the furniture, happy, no problems, saying how great we were. I think the bill with the hours of labor and everything, it was like $750 for a 3-man crew, and she tipped us each $50. So we get this check, we go back. Of course, me, I was the only one with a bank account. So I deposited the check for $900 into my bank account, and then I divvied out what I could to the guys in the crew. We went out after painting or something, another odd job we were picking up, to get something to eat afterwards. And my debit card came back declined. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. You know, there's like $700 in this account. So I go to like every ATM in like a block radius, every single one saying declined. I feel like a stooge. I have no way to pay for the meal now either. No way to pay for the meal, no cash on me. But I get back and I check my balance at my bank and it was like negative $600 something. And I was like, my God, what happened? I thought my identity had been stolen. I thought somebody had run up all kinds of crazy charges. But it turns out this woman bounced her check on us for $900. I immediately jumped on the whole thing, calling her and leaving her messages and this kind of thing. She said that we ruined every single piece of her furniture and that we should pay her. Now, the thing that doesn't make sense, go back, is like the 2.5 hours she was sitting in her house with her family, with all her belongings, you know, after she had been able to walk around and look at all the stuff, she still tipped us each $50. So in my eyes, I think I was part of a scam. I think she was trying to do it from the beginning. I think she gave us $50 each on the check, trying to get us out of there happy, and she knew it was never gonna fly. She was a scammer and she took advantage of us. And she took advantage of us hard. So this is where it gets to, I've already paid out a bunch of that money to the guys. That's why my bank account went to like negative 600, because I had like, you know, maybe $300 of my own personal money in there at the time, but it was all gone.
So did you want to get that money back from them?
Obviously. This is my money. I'm broke. I'm a dude that's painting and doing moving jobs to make a living. Like, I wanted that money back. And the one guy, you know, no problem, gave me the money right back, was like, it sucks, I'm sorry. John was like, no, I'm not giving you money back. Because he didn't have it.
You know, this is John. John, his good buddy. His business partner now. Who, you know, was not looking like he was so good at either of those things at the moment.
And I was like, well, you don't understand. See, that's my money that I gave you. The money that you think that you have right now never happened. That check never went through. So give me back my loot.
And how much did he owe you at this point?
Like $150. That was it. But I needed that to, like, cap off the rent. I went back to John and was like, where's my money? I need it now. If I don't pay my rent, I'm going to get kicked out of my house. He still said, no, I can't pay. I don't have the money. So you're not getting your money back. This was when I got kind of thug on him a little bit. He had left his drum set. He's a drummer. He left his drum set in my trunk. And I told him that if he didn't come up with my $150 before the end of the day, I was going to get my $150 from a pawn shop and that he could work it out with them. You don't owe me money anymore. You owe the pawn shop money. Oh, man, he exploded. Oh, you can't do this to me. I need my drums, blah, 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 blah. Magically, all of a sudden, he has the money. You know, like, I don't have it. I can't get it. There's no way, blah, blah, blah. Boom. Magically, all of a sudden, has money.
Magically.
And he gave me $140, not $150, which kind of irked me just because it was just like the last like kind of disrespect on the money he owed me. But then I gave him his drums back. And paid my rent so I could stay there. And at that point, it was kind of like, done. Business with this is done. I'm not doing this anymore. Like in financial situations, just done. Like he's my friend, but when it comes to money and getting into like business arrangements with this guy, no more.
So you still considered him a friend after this?
Yeah, I still do. I still do. But that like leads up to the more recent stuff. I was living in my old place. The house was cool. My friends adoringly referred to it as the Fight Club house because it was like the house from Fight Club because it was a little falling apart, but the rent was cheap and the landlord was cool, so I didn't mind it. I liked the house. The roommates, though, it was kind of like a hostel. He rented out by the room, so you would get like really random roommates. I mean, sometimes they were like middle-aged gay men living with like, you know, young 20-year-old guys. Sometimes there were foreign guys living there, students, gutter punks, you know, squatters, just pretty much anybody that he could get to fill a room, he would. John and another guy moving into a new house that has 4 bedrooms, and they're moving in together because we're friends, you know, and they're like, Fight Club house is kind of grimy. Why don't you move in with us? And I'm like, nah, because John. And I was like, I'm not moving in with John. Can't do it. I'm not getting in another financial situation with this guy because it's going to come back around and get me. Then I came upstairs from the Fight Club house one day, and one of my random roommates was a very stinky guy. I mean, this guy was so stinky, like I literally was about to start being like, hey dude, there's a $20 bill in the shower. Like, you should go get it. And like, see if he walked in there, like kick him in the shower and like turn on the water and like stomp him with a sponge on my foot or something. But this guy was horrendous when it came to smell. Like, it was like a barnyard in my living room when I came home some nights. He had left a large platter of cut ham on the kitchen table for like 2 days, I think. And I was like, that's it. No more Fight Club house. I just couldn't take it anymore. After that, I told the guys that I would move into the house just because that was the only place I knew of that I could immediately move into.
Okay, at this point, maybe you're wondering what I was wondering, which is, wasn't Jason still worried that John would take advantage of him again? Or, you know, did he hope against hope that maybe this time things would be different, that maybe John had changed?
I did hope for the best, but I definitely braced myself too because there was just something inside me that was like, dude, why are you doing this? And all I could think of was that barnyard smell.
Dude.
I moved in and it was a good time at first. It really was. But then, you know, the winter kind of hit and John was out of work, spending money on his band. He gets another job at some bar. It was probably the worst bar I've ever been to in my life, and his boss wasn't paying him. He was like, let me get my money. And his boss would be like, no, I don't have it. And he continued to work for this guy, which blew my mind. Like, how do you not collect? He's like, he owes me like $800 now. How do you not go up to somebody and be like, give me my money, like right now?
Let me get my money. No, I don't have it. Let me get my money.
So in the meantime, he's not paying rent or paying
bills?
No,
not paying rent. And the other thing is, he starts working for the landlord. Like, the landlord also owns the apartment building next door that was vacant for the winter, like a 3-flat. So John can't pay the money. So the landlord is like, well, either you get kicked out or pretty much you become my indentured servant. And 8 hours a day, you're going to be working on that apartment, painting and scraping in exchange for living there. Which he thought was a cool deal. When I was like, you have a job now where you're working 8 hours a day, but there's no money. It's phantom money. It goes straight into rent. You have no spending money. You can't do anything.
So now John is broke. He's not paying rent. And now he starts, you know, mooching off of Jason and their other roommates.
Every time, you know, food gets cooked and things like that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, people are peering around the corners like orphans around a soup kitchen and stuff.
So yeah. Would you be like cooking dinner and he'd come home and
exactly and be like, oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that looks so good. Like head right in front of my chicken and stuffing.
What would you do?
See, that's my problem. One of my favorite lines from a rap song is Gangstar's Moment of Truth. And the line is, my only crime was that I'm too damn kind. That's how I feel kind of about myself. If you're hungry, like, I'm gonna feed you.
And were you confronting him at all during this period?
But see, that's the thing. Like, I got to the point where I felt like I was nagging. So I almost backed off so I wouldn't be nagging as much anymore. Just like, literally, like, you have to get a job. You have to get a real job. Oh, there's no work. There's no work. Can't get a job. There's no work.
So you were saying stuff to him, but it's not really your job to, like, make him get a
exactly.
job.
Exactly. I'm not his mama. I stopped nagging and was like, we'll let him, you know, kind of sit in what he's created.
Can't get a job. No work.
And that's when, you know, it gets to the point where my buddy who had all the bills in his name in our house couldn't pay the bills anymore. He literally said he couldn't afford to live in the house because all the bills are paid, but the electric bill has like $450 outstanding. The gas bill has like $900 outstanding. And these are like late fees and fines and all this stuff accrued because they're not paying their bills on time. John wasn't paying his bills on time.
Was the consensus in the house, though, that this was John's fault, that John was really the biggest problem?
Yeah, because finally it got down to it where we were all talking about it, and we had to straight up, you know, tell him. And we were like, I'm sorry, dude, but we said this was going to happen. Like, you do this all the time to people, and you consistently refuse to learn from previous situations like that. You're gone, dude. You're done. You're out. But when we told him that it was over and everything, he didn't really get it. Like, he knew. Like, he just kind of sat there, like, defeated. You know what I mean? It was funny because it went back to the drums, where I don't have the money. I don't have the money. I can't pay you the money. I'm going to pawn your drums. Cha-ching. Here's the money. Voila. That day, he got a job. I was like, I have a job now. Like, yeah.
What was the job?
It's like a telemarketer or caller or something. Like, I'm not sure. But it was like, see, everything's fine now. And it was like, no, no, it's not fine. Like, when it came to the personal, you know, distress that he's put on his friends that he does not even comprehend. He didn't understand that he was creating unnecessary tension, not only in the house, but among his best friends. I mean, there was never a sorry, like, for any of it. Never, not for the drums, not for the house falling apart. You gotta understand that it's not about the money. It really isn't. Like, that's the problem with me, like, especially with friends that get upset. Like, oh, you're gonna let money come between us. It's money, it's money, it's money. It's not the money to me. It's more about just being true to your word and having, you know, basic human understanding of everybody needs money. You know, it's not a fact of like, oh, well, you're broke, so I won't be your friend. It's you're broke because of your choices. of your irresponsibilities and your recklessness. That gets old real quick.
So again, why is Jason getting so worked up about this? You know, like you said, it's not just about the money. It's because he's been there. Remember, when he first moved to Chicago, he didn't have a job either.
I didn't really think of the job market being so poor that I went for like 3 or 4 months, could not find work at all. That spawned into me not having a job in Chicago and sleeping under a dining room table for 3 months. We used to go to an open mic, little place called Lily's, really dark, kind of divey, but really good music and good people. But you know, I would go there to listen to the music and I'd sit there, you know, with a frown on my face because couldn't buy beer, you know? Didn't have cigarettes. Everybody else is around drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, listening to music, having a good time. And I'm sitting there in the cold, pretty much. It would get to the point like, hey man, can I get a cigarette? Like, I can't keep giving you cigarettes, man, you know? I'm sorry, dude, like I've given you cigarettes for months now.
Jason knows what it means to be broke, to be a mooch.
I have that understanding of what it's like to go for a long time without work and to have your friends, you know, starting to get annoyed with you because you are continuously out of money.
So do you think one reason that you're so frustrated is that you do feel like you can relate to the position he's in, but you were able to change and grow up from it,
exactly.
Whereas he wasn't able to?
That's perfect, the way you just said that. That is exactly what it is. I'm just angry with him because I've been there myself, personally. Being broke definitely lends, you know, people to be more understanding to a broke person's problems. But every time you fall, you have to get up and learn from that fall. Like, he never learns. There's no learning process there at all.
Get it up and learn.
Okay, so anyway, back to that roommate situation. You know, whatever happened with that? Jason and his roommates were fed up with John. They wanted him out. So did he leave?
Even though we threatened to kick him out, we never did, simply because, in my opinion, it was more work. It was just more work. I didn't feel like putting myself through the personal stress of, like, sitting down with the kid and, like, you know, worrying about what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it and all the provisions that are going to be provided of, like, throwing this kid out. And the other thing is, like I said, my only crime is that I'm too damn kind. Like, I don't want anybody living on the street. So at this point, I'm like, love you guys, but I hate you guys. I'm out.
So you didn't kick him out, but you left. I mean, so it sounds like it was emotionally easier for you to just leave than it would have been for you to kick out your friend.
Yeah.
I guess what I don't understand is, like, why do you still want to be friends with him at all? Like, why not just cut him out of your life?
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like he has very many redeeming qualities.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, though. He is a good guy. He really is a good guy. He's a funny guy. He's a nice guy. He's a good drummer. Like, it's good to have him around. But when it comes to the loot, when it comes to the paper, the kid is a moron.
Doesn't sound like a very good guy. Sounds irresponsible and, like, not empathetic and, like, not concerned for the well-being of his friends. And it sounds like he takes advantage of people.
I think he does, to a degree. But I wouldn't say that he even knows he's doing it. Do you know? I don't know if that makes sense, but I don't think he
knows.
Sounds
a little convenient.
Yeah. Do you think I'm just, like, defending him at this point?
If I were you, I'm not sure that I would continue to be friends with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
So, Jason insists that he and John are still friends. But remember, there was a time when these guys were really close, like, you know, touring in a band together and stuff. But listen to how Jason talks about John now and the kind of lines that he's drawing.
It definitely won't be the same, if that's any consolation. Like,
well, tell me how it won't be the same.
It won't be the same because, A, will I see him around at a bar? Yeah. Will I say what's up to him? Yeah. You know, will I see him at a music show? Yeah. Will I go maybe see his band play? Yeah. But, you know, am I going to hit him up on a Wednesday evening when, you know, I want to drink a couple beers and watch TV? Nah.
So you're not going to call him?
Yeah, nah.